Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome, welcome to Verkay Radio, iHeartRadio, the power of women. This is the Get Your Business Right show. This is Michael Muse, Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach, because overcoming your fears is not an option. I am the author of Rise and Burn, because breaking free from the root of your fears is the beginning of you living the life, not only that you dreamed of, but also walking in your divine destiny. I'm excited about this guest, because this guest here today, she knows history, she sees history, and she is making history. But she has the key and has the formula when it comes to the black people who are millionaires who have made considerable contributions to this country. And she is going to break down the secret sauce that she has also used to take herself to the next level. So I want to introduce you to the one and only, the acclaimed expert, Dr. Ruby Bray.
Good afternoon, Michael. What a joy to be with you, especially during February Black History Month.
Absolutely.
Thank you for inviting.
Yes. Well, we're honored to have you on board, because you have been an example in your community. You have been a leader for so many other people, and you have been a wealth of knowledge and information to share with our youth, and just sharing with this generation that our history starts way before slavery, and even the accomplishments that are being done now and in the past, on how it's so crucial that when you know that information, we're able to go to the next level. So I appreciate you. And so let's just jump into what sparked your interest to want to learn, especially black people who became millionaires. What was the first thing you learned about them?
Well, I remember years ago, there was a magazine that was published that was focused on black businesses. And that magazine, In fact, I struggle to remember the name now, but I remember seeing pictures of black people, black men and women who owned businesses. I think it was Black Enterprise magazine. And there were people who were doing things all over the country in amazing ways in every discipline. There were people who owned medical practices, and people who owned software companies, and people who owned entertainment companies, and people who supported musicians and artists and educators and people who were just doing fabulous things. And they were role models for me.
Wow. And I think that's a step that it takes for all of us, just having that initial role model, because one thing the school system has failed us miserably on is just the knowledge and information of the things that have been accomplished and the things that we're still accomplishing.
Absolutely.
And so so what first black millionaire in history that you studied that really caught your attention?
Well, the first black female millionaire who caught my attention was Madam C.J. Walker. My mother was a beautician, and she never had to go out to a job to work for anybody else in the community. And when I learned that Madam C.J. Walker had developed hair care products and tools that made it possible for these black women to run businesses so that they were self-sufficient and independent, I knew that I always wanted to do that. I didn't realize that my father and my two uncles owned three businesses, a funeral home, a barber shop, and a taxi service. So they never had to go out to work for anybody. And they were entrepreneurs, and this was 70 years ago. That barber shop is still in business in Montgomery, Alabama today, Howard and Howard. They still run advertisements. Their grandchildren and great-grandchildren work in the business, and they've trained so many other young barbers and cosmetologists and product developers who've gone on to start their own businesses. And so I feel like I stand on the shoulders of people who were business people in a micro macro environment, but I also became aware of those who were business people from a macro perspective. I remember Mr. Gaston in Birmingham, who owned the insurance company.
Yes.
And this is an insurance company that still exists today and has been used to help create wealth in the Black community. So those are some of the people who I feel like were contemporaries, and then those who came before us. And many times we didn't see their names in books that were used to teach us in school, but we were always excited when Black History Month came along because we'd hear about somebody knew the Booker T. Washingtons, the Frederick Douglass,
yes,
and many others who were leaders, perhaps not entrepreneurs, but we also got to hear about the entrepreneurs, and it made a tremendous difference in terms of helping to instill in me that I had less of an interest in a job and more of an interest in ownership. A job is like an apartment that you rent, and the only thing you have will be receipts. Businesses are things that you own, and if structured properly, can be passed on generation to generation. I remember I went to college with a daughter of Haverty's Furniture Store, for those of you who are across the South. And what, I'm in my mid-60s? And Haverty Furniture Stores are still going strong. So I imagine there are plenty of Haverty's who've benefited as a result of that business in their family.
Wow.
And so it motivated me to want to see businesses that were legacies, things that could be inherited and handed off to our children and our grandchildren. And I'm still committed to that.
And you know what, Dr. Bray, what caught my attention, what you just said there, is one of the things that allow us to do great things is that we didn't have a 9-to-5 mentality. Like you said, we own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, there's power in ownership.
Yes.
And of course, the power of ownership is not being taught in our homes. It's not being taught in our churches. And it's definitely not being taught in our schools. And so let's discuss two individuals, which I know you know a tremendous amount about, but it definitely goes back to education and wealth, is W.E.B. Du Bois and the other gentleman from Tuskegee University.
Booker T. Washington.
I don't know why.
George Washington Carver.
Yes. And so what things about those two gentlemen that really struck you, that really gives you inspiration and insight?
Thank you for that wonderful question about the two gentlemen from Tuskegee, Dr. George Washington Carver and Dr. Booker T. Washington. Dr. Carver was a genius by anybody's standard. When it came to the land, he had a green thumb, and he was able to take what he learned to share with farmers across Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, who were able to keep the land alive rather than year after year sowing crops that pulled all the nutrients out. He was able to help farmers grow crops that were just rich in nutrition, and then to help them understand how to sell crops as entrepreneurs. Some of the early farmers, sharecroppers who grew up and did business across the South were able to take those principles and practices to help ensure that their family survived. And then they were able to teach their children so that the generations who inherited that land and who work the land today are still able to produce nutritious crops based on what he learned with the peanut and yams and other types of crops in Tuskegee. Booker T. Washington was absolutely committed to education, but he thought education needed to do more than simply prepare you for a job. It needed to allow you to take the gifts in your hands that you were born with and use those gifts to make a living. And every time my sister, one of my older sisters, worked at Tuskegee for 30 years, and all of her four daughters graduated from Tuskegee. So I have a special place in my heart when I think about Tuskegee University. In fact, Beyonce last year or year before gave a significant gift to Tuskegee to help ensure that students from across the country would have resources to be able to understand how to use these gifts that they show up with in their hands to be able to not just make a living, but create a life, ever teaching, much like what you're inviting me to do today, so that you're not just short-term thinking about now, but a long-term thinker, thinking about how what you understand can be passed on to others to improve their lives, and like a rock thrown on the water will ripple into the lives of others. I remember my mother used to sit when she would be doing hair, the hair of women in the community, and she even did Mrs. King's hair from time to time. Mother would share much of what she understood about being a wife, being a mother, being a homemaker, working in the community, working in the church. She was the first to help set up Head Start for little children. And that was an entrepreneur's mind, not just a job-oriented mind. So today, when I think about many of our young people and women especially, who through our networks have opportunities to lead, may we be busy sharing and leading.
You hit on some good stuff right there. When you mentioned George Washington Carver, I want to make sure my information is correct, because you know, the narrative has never been truthful when it comes to everything about our heroes and the people who've contributed so much to our society. Is it true that he was, had it been castrated?
I can't speak with authority. That is what I always understood. So as a result, he was not married, did not have children, never cashed a single check that he received from Tuskegee. He lived very simply right there in Tuskegee and worked at the university for many, many years with a heart committed to growing as a person and serving. And he did it faithfully.
Wow.
And by the way, Tuskegee has archives. So anyone who'd like to study Dr. Carvey's life, Dr. Carver's life, his journals are there, his scientific papers are there, and much of the research that he documented is also there in the archives at the university. In fact, I had a chance, a year or two ago, I was there on campus, went to the archives, spoke with the historian, and he showed me a document that Dr. Carver had written in his own hands. It was a page or two from some research that he had.
Yes. Well, that is powerful right there. And so I know you mentioned Madam C.J. Walker. What other women in business and history, especially during that era, that really grabbed your attention and you looked up to them?
Well, I tell you, when I think about other women, I think about women across different institutions. Every time I think about Miss Fannie Lou Hamer, I think Miss Hamer was a domestic, but she was an educated woman from the standpoint that she was ever listening to better understand how to improve her lot in life. And she was courageous. And so while there were women who owned shops, I remember there was a family in our community, the Williams, and they owned the florist shop. There were the Pools, and they owned a pharmacy. There were people who owned little candy stores and people who had small corner grocery stores. In fact, my grandparents owned a country grocery store, and I can remember when I was very little, they would teach us how to sell things out of this country store and how to make change and where to store money securely and how to interact in a very professional manner with the people who came to the store. So when I think of those women, I can't say that I know lots of women other than Madam C.J. Walker. That's not true. There was a woman in Richmond, Virginia, I believe it was, who owned a newspaper. And she was one of the first people to write about the evils of lynching and how it just destroyed the souls of those who did it, as well as the families of those who were affected by those who were lynched. And she was courageous enough to write beautifully, and her publications are available today. In fact, I was in Montgomery recently and went to the Peace and Justice Museum that people call the Slavery Memorial and Museum. And I was amazed at the documented history of people who had reported, people who were members of the NAACP, people who coached, people who taught, people who owned barbershops. In fact, earlier today, I was looking at a book co-authored by Mr. Nelson Malden from Montgomery. Mr. Malden owned a barbershop in the Ben Moore Hotel that was a Black hotel in Montgomery. Okay. How many of us can say we've ever stayed in a Black hotel? But this hotel was very close to Alabama State. It was close to a Dr. Harris who owned a pharmacy. And in that portion of the community were many Black businesses. And with integration, many of those businesses went away because we were so busy trying to go and patronize white businesses where we, for the first time, would have an opportunity to move from the back door to enter from the front and sit at tables and be waited on instead of cleaning the tables.
Right. I know that had to feel good to be able to sit at the same table that your parents or grandparents couldn't sit at previously.
This is true, but I tell you, with change always comes consequences.
Yes.
And so it's important to understand how our mindset shifted away from our neighbors, our relatives who own businesses that we patronized because we had no other businesses for the most part to patronize unless we went to the back door to be able to have access to the products. That when we left our businesses, businesses without customers do what? They go out of business. And so what I've learned is to really be mindful, thinking that it's always better on the other side. It is not. And when I not only vote with my voice, but with my pocketbook, I will deny a family, especially a Black family, a plumber, a carpenter. And these were the people who we relied on to come and install, the Black electricians to come to our homes to do the repairs. And
that's
now
right.
It's so hard to find a Black electrician, a Black plumber, a Black carpenter. Whenever there are things that go wrong, every now and then I'll find somebody who's a Black HVAC technician. But I think it's so important to patronize these tradespeople, these professionals, and to think long term instead of short term. That when we patronize them, we make it possible for them to support their families, to train their children, and likely pass on a business that will be an inheritance to those children and grandchildren.
Yes.
And great grandchildren, just like the barbershop is in my family.
Mm.
So entrepreneurship comes with some unique gifts. It means that you are gifted for yourself and for those who are in your family, in the immediate family, but it also means you're able to pass on something that creates wealth, that has the potential to create wealth for generations. I think about Amazon and the billions of dollars that will be inherited by Jeff Bezos' children. I was looking at a picture of Bill Gates' daughter. I think it said that she was engaged to somebody from South Africa or something. But all I could think of was she will not only receive the wealth from the business, but will most likely be responsible to own and run the business as the next generation.
Yes. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Dr. Bray, because it's so, what you're saying is so critical for us to really continue making history and to better our communities, that ownership is really the key.
Absolutely.
And so we're getting close to the end of the show here. And what are the key things you've learned about ownership from watching our heroes and sheroes in Black history to help set your path up?
One of the things that I've learned that is so important to understand the numbers associated with your business. You can have a $1 million business, but if all of that is eaten up with costs and expenses, you have no profit. And so if you have a period that's bad, you're out of business. I spoke with a young man yesterday. He and his wife own a florist shop, and the overhead for their location was so great that it ate up everything that was potential profit, even though they had great revenue. So here you have lots of money, but all of the costs eat up the profit. So you really aren't making anything. You're living month to month. So they've had to close their shop. So what I tell anybody who's going into business, understand the numbers, understand what constitutes cost, and keep them as low as you can while providing quality service and product. Make sure that even though you have revenue and you're constantly working to increase the revenue, that you have a margin of profit that is also increasing. The Yes. other thing is that you're always putting something aside so that if things happen to go south, like with the farmers and the tariffs, you will not have a foreclosure on your property, your farm, your business, because you had put nothing aside. My mother used to say, managing money is pretty simple. You give 10%, you save 10%, and you live on 80% or less. And when you do, and you do that over a protracted period of time, you'll have enough money put aside so that when things are not going the way you want, you will not be forced to shut down. The other thing is to make sure that you have your business titled in a way that allows for you to take advantage of tax advantages. This Yes. means, as opposed to just being a sole proprietorship, which has the highest tax level, to make sure that a C corp, an X corp, get some legal advice, because corporations get taxed at levels that are much lower than individuals. So when you're making money, make sure you've talked to an attorney concerning how to be able to protect that money. The last thing is, we have so many people who never take advantage of trust. And trusts are a great way to be able to pass off your business, your property, your savings in a way that minimizes taxes.
Right.
The person who becomes a successor trustee gets to inherit or manage that resource. We have so many people who die without a will. Make certain that you've got a will. And if you've got a lot of money, make sure you have something in trust and you've specified who you want your hard-earned resources to go to. Those are some of the things that come to mind right off the bat, because I've seen so many families lose property and pay taxes that they didn't have to pay. I look at our president, for example, but don't let me spend a lot of time going there. Here he's responsible to manage money for the whole nation, and he can't manage money for himself well enough to be able to clear audits in 3 years. I promise you something is wrong. So you want to make sure you're managing your money well enough so that if you get into tax difficulty, you're able to get professional help so you can get it resolved fairly quickly. And when you do, you're able to move forward with a business that can be left as a legacy for those to come after you, and hopefully a wonderful entity for the next generation to inherit.
Well, you have shared a great...
May I share one Yes. last thing?
Yes.
Life insurance is so important. And
Yes,
there's life insurance now that's called Bank on Yourself Life Insurance, that allows you to save so that you can use some of the money now without just spending a fortune on whole life by itself, or term insurance, which is like renting with just receipts. Take some time to investigate that. Every time I think about Rockefeller and what Rockefeller left back in the 1800s, that has been used to care for more than 30 Rockefellers versus what others had and today have nothing to show for it. Every time I look at the Biltmore, I'm blown away to think that there is this huge property, the largest house in America, and its beauty because of planning around entity, proper use of resources, and taking advantage of what to do with taxes and insurance.
Absolutely. You hit on the mouthful right there. And you know what? What you just spoke on, we need to bring you back on to talk about that, because that is one entity that people need to understand on how to bank on themselves. So I'm sure we could maybe set up a time and have you back on, because there are a lot of women who are listening on this show here, and they're looking at, what can I do to have an advantage and have an edge on getting.
Well, I tell you, that's one. In fact, I recently met a woman who's a millionaire who owns more than 20 properties in Las Vegas. And in sitting down talking with her, she was kind of picking my brain about these kinds of things. And I talked about life insurance and how it's possible to expand your estate by leveraging the money that's put into life insurance, so that when you pass, it's possible to leave $1 million to your children without yes. having earned $1 million. And life insurance is one way to do it. And it doesn't have to be the most expensive kind of life insurance to do it. So I'd love to come back and talk to some of our listeners about how to improve your cash. By the way, you don't have to be rich. And I'll come back and talk on this. Cash flow is amazing. And what can happen when you have decreased your expenses and cost, when you have taken that money and put it into a tool that will grow. And I'm not talking about 1% with banks or 2 or 3% with CDs. I'm talking about real estate as a way to help increase. And I've got some ideas about that.
Absolutely. You have been phenomenal. I always want to thank you so much for sharing your wealth information knowledge on for Black History Month. And really, what you just shared, and what you're going to share on the next episode, a person who don't know history, they can come to you, they can learn history and how to make that money.
Absolutely. By the way, I'm an executive coach, which means I help business people do this all the time. So go look at my website, wooliturtle.com, W-U-L-I-turtle.com, or give me a call and let me get a sense of what you're doing and ways that we can support you in doing it faster, better, and with greater profitability. I'd love to do it.
Yes. So I just want to thank you so much. Are you going to leave a number for them, or you want them to get that?
Absolutely. 703-864-3769. Dr. Ruby Bray at Wooly Turtle Corporation.
You got it, ladies and gentlemen. You have got it. Ladies, if you're looking to grow your business, if you're looking to get the coaching and the help, she has you covered. So I thank you so much.
And all you have to do is just type in my name on Google, and I promise I'll pop right up. Give me a call.
And let's make sure you get the correct spelling. That's Dr. Ruby.
Yes.
Ruby.
Yes.
Just want to make sure. Okay. So you have, ladies and gentlemen, that's Ruby with an E on the end, and that's Bray, B-R-A-Y, with an E on the end also. So when it comes to Dr. Bray, make sure you catch up with her, because this next episode, she's going to drop some serious nuggets that will change your life. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on, Dr. Bray.
Thank you, Mr. Muse. It's been wonderful to spend the morning with you. Happy Black History Month, and may we all do things that are life-changing.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and listening to this episode, because without women like Dr. Bray sharing information and putting the work in, we're definitely thankful and grateful to people like her who don't hold information and who's looking to help, who want to be a resource for the next generation. And you are definitely putting your name in the history books, Dr. Bray, and I'm just fortunate enough, I'm blessed enough to say, hey, I know you, and I'm thankful for all that you do. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming on the Get Your Business Right show, where we're on Vert K Radio, where this is all about the power of women, helping women get in the right environments, meet the right people, and get the right connections. God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Bye-bye.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.